Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't even really have words for it. I mean, it was heartbreak. It is heartbreaking. And for us to, you know, find out in the locker room before we came out, a lot of guys were just very emotional. And just to be able to, you know, get to know Kobe a couple months ago, he came down to Houston, and now with his loss and his family, prayers all out to his family and friends. And I mean, it's terrible news.
So Sean Watson yesterday thought he was just going to be horsing around, playing football at the Pro Bowl, and the news broke. Kobe Bryant passed away at the age of 41, along with his 13-year-old daughter. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. A lot of times the news cycle begins, and you're surprised, you're shocked. I can't remember being this shocked about a death of a former athlete as I was the news about Kobe Bryant. I woke up yesterday with basically a 5-minute speech of LeBron James talking about Kobe Bryant. Like when I wiped the crust out of my eyes, the first thing I looked at was my phone, and LeBron had passed Kobe to become the third all-time leading scorer in NBA history. And LeBron was going in depth about Kobe. I looked at it, didn't think anything of it, took a shower, went about my day, and then the news dropped. It's just kind of a full circle day yesterday in regards to the life of Kobe Bryant.
It's hard to put, you know, it's hard to gauge a death, especially of a sports figure, that you can go to Argentina, you can go to Turkey, you can go to China or Korea or wherever, and people are like deeply, deeply affected. It transcends so much that it does that. I think that's what it is. So what is it? Maybe some of our loopholes can talk about what it feels like. To me, John Lennon was mentioned earlier, but he wasn't a sports figure, of course. But that, like,
cannot relate.
Like the shock of like out of nowhere, because John Lennon, I believe, was early 40s as well, maybe a little older, but I think it was early 40s as well. And just I found out about it on the Monday Night Football. But in terms of sports figures, I don't have really vivid memories of this. I was 8 years old, so what are you doing? But I think the correlation to Roberto Clemente is very valid in the sports world. Absolute Hall of Famer. Some would say top five baseball player in the history of the game. Certainly top 10 in the history of the game. Who was on a mission trip to Puerto Rico and his plane went down, like the year he retired or the year after he retired, and it sent shockwaves across the world. In every corner of the world, because he was doing so much for people in need. So that's the closest I can think of. Is anybody else in sports that you can relate to?
Man, I don't even, not really. I mean, because, you know, I can't relate to the Roberto Clemente thing. I wasn't there when that happened. And I think the only way you can really feel like a death, I think you can go back in time and study history and stuff like that on sports and get a grasp of like results and stats and all that. But I wasn't there when the Roberto Clemente thing happened. The Kobe really, it's second to none for me. I don't know that there's really, you know, been an athlete like Kobe that has passed away. And coming full circle, I mean, I'll be honest, I respected what Kobe did, but I was never a massive, like, Kobe. I wasn't like Team Kobe or anything growing up. Like I was always either Shaq, LeBron, MJ, whatever. I was never really Team Kobe, but you know, the last few years, I think everybody's kind of become Team Kobe. I think he had a lot to offer the league. I think this is bad for the league. But I just think, as far as being polarizing and as far as being this much of a legend and appearing to have this much life to live, I think this is second to none for my time, for sure.
Figgy just told me in my ear, and on all these are similar, but they're not as huge as Kobe. Drazen Petrovic. He was the Michael Jordan of Europe or whatever.
Yeah,
played for
that.
The Blazers when he died.
NBA on NBC.
And then, Hank Gathers?
No, I don't think.
No, no. I mean, they were all shocking, but they weren't worldwide. And so I'm trying to think. The one I could think of would be Roberto Clemente. Like I said, that would be the most, you know, appropriate.
And Roberto Clemente, I think the sad thing was, I think he had to offer like philanthropy like type stuff. Yeah. I think that was him. I think Kobe just had. I don't know if it was going to be film or something like that. I think his contributions would have been maybe even from an entertainment standpoint. I don't know what Kobe would have done, but I think there was just a lot more life that Kobe had to live. And it's a legendary figure. And I don't want to say he had more to offer post-career than Michael Jordan, because MJ's a legend, but MJ kind of does his own thing. Like, mm-hmm. MJ sells shoes and all that, but as far as just maybe OG type of wisdom that was more available, I feel like Kobe had a little bit more to offer than, you know, like an MJ or something like that.
No, I think he absolutely did. Michael Jordan Michael Jordan does a lot of for people around the world. And I think, you know, obviously he started, you know, doing as much as he could, and he still does a lot commercially. I think Kobe wanted to, first of all, he made millions and millions of dollars in outside of basketball with his investments and such. I know one of his companies was purchased for $200 million, by Coca-Cola. Is it the Under Armour drink or one of those things, one of those drinks, that he had? But besides that, I think what really resonates with a lot of people is not just that what he was as a player and what he did, but that he was with his daughter. I mean, that just, you know, he was trying to be dad, you know, taking her to the Mamba Academy over there. She was going to practice and play a game, and just so sad that she went as well. And she was the only one of his girls so far. Now, he had a 7-month-old daughter as well. Sadly, she's never going to know, you know, her father. He had a 7-month-old, but she was 14, Gigi, and she was the one that had the Kobe gene. You know, that she was confident, she loved the game, and she was starting on the same path as him.
And here was Kobe talking about his daughter who was in the helicopter with him when he was on Jimmy Kimmel a short time ago.
Do you think your daughter might want to play in the WNBA?
She does, for sure.
She does?
I mean, this kid, man. She's
Wouldn't
like,
that be great?
Dude, man, I'm telling you. The best thing that happens is when we go out and fans will come up to me and she'll be standing next to me and they'll be like, hey, you got to have a boy. You and V got to have a boy, man. You got somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy. She's like, oh, I got this. You know, boy for that, I got this. Like, that's right. Yes, you do. You got this.
That's awesome. I mean, and that resonates on the human level, right? You know, you can put your sports heroes up top, and then when something, and a lot of people are texting Payne Stewart, a lot of people are texting Dale Earnhardt Jr. Those were shocking, but again, maybe not to the level of what Kobe was, because he was a worldwide phenomenon. But you can put yourself, it just makes it so much more tragic, you know, that he was with his daughter Gigi and she had that Kobe gene.
Yeah, I think anytime an active athlete dies, obviously that's shocking. But it just seemed like it usually, you know, like when someone quits basketball, that you look at the basketball thing, and then that you're basically acting like, you know, they lived a full life, and I feel like Kobe's life wasn't even halfway done. That's what's so shocking about it. But yeah, of course, when someone active goes down like Payne Stewart, mm-hmm. or some of the other names, it's there. But I think as far as someone who just, you know,
yeah,
was done playing basketball, this is about as crazy as it gets. I mean, me and Figgy we actually Pavetex went with us. We were going to Minute Maid yesterday for the Royal Rumble, just to, you know, take it in. And I literally asked him, like, do y'all still want to go? And I don't even know.
Yeah.
I, looking back, that almost seems like a dumb question, but
that was a fair question.
It mm-hmm. just seemed like it was kind of a weird situation where a lot of people were kind of a little bit, you know, shook up by the news and whatnot. So I was kind of wondering that if they wanted to it's kind of weird. And when I woke up this morning, I honestly was wondering if it had actually happened.
No, I thought the same thing. We were on Fox 26 this morning, and I remember telling him, Did yesterday happen? Was that real? That's when it really resonates. When that feeling of disbelief just lingers, even when you know it, it's absolutely true. Both my sons, man. It was Kobe. The Kobe generation. You're the Kobe generation.
Yeah.
You know.
Every time I leave the house, in my living room, there's a ball signed by Kobe Bryant, and there's a sweatband he gave me after a game. Took his sweatband off and gave it to me as a kid. And even though I'm not a Kobe guy, that's always been one of my treasured items. So I love Kobe Bryant and what he brought to the game. And I think it's not necessarily hindsight, because I think if you would have asked me Saturday, I like Kobe Bryant more after he retired than I did when he played.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one thing. I spent a lot of my time as an NBA fan growing up arguing about Kobe Bryant. Kobe or Shaq, Kobe
right.
or Jordan,
right.
Kobe or LeBron, you know, when LeBron came there. I spent a lot of time doing that. But as soon as he retired, it's not necessarily because he was out of sight, out of mind. I think the admiration that he had was unanimous, and that's not hindsight. That's just what it was with Kobe Bryant.
And then there's the other.
You appreciate him a little more.
And then there's the other side of Kobe and his inner circle of friends, which was a big circle. I mean, people that he touched and knew him. Had his back, even if you got angry with Kobe a little bit, like Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe couldn't get along in L.A., right? Shaquille's devastated. Shaq is devastated by this. And I do want to say, John Lucas knew Kobe Bryant. Lucas's daughter went to high school with Kobe at Lower Merion when he was coaching in Philadelphia and got to be extremely close with Kobe from the time they were in high school. They formed a bond that was really, really close. And Luke's going to be joining us in about 3 or 4 minutes. So he talked about that side of him and how the work ethic, you know, he would open the gym for him, and then he got to become friends with him. And I mean, heck, he was taking prom pictures at Luke's house, you know.
Yeah, with Brandy?
With Brandy.
Wow.
And so it's going to be an interesting discussion, but that's the side that we want to talk about,
too. Well, let's hear it. John Lucas, the OG of Houston basketball, a man who's known Kobe Bryant, whose daughter went to high school with Kobe Bryant out there in Philadelphia. He's about to join the show. He's going to talk about Kobe Bryant, give you some local insight that you can't get anywhere else. That's next. All right, let's go to the phone line. John Lucas, one of the OGs of basketball, OGs of Houston basketball, knows Kobe Bryant more than most people, has known John Lopez for a while. Sorry for that, John. Not all good news there.
Luke is the best.
He's joining us right now to talk about the life and times of Kobe Bryant. Mr. Lucas, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining In the Loop with Lopez and Landry.
Well, thank you, Landry, and good morning to you all. What a terrible experience we had on the basketball court yesterday. It came across a phone with a guy out there on the court saying Kobe Bryant had just been killed, and everybody thought that was a joke, and we were waiting for it to come back. And then when I heard the helicopter piece, I knew it could possibly be real, that he was in a helicopter. And then later our PR director and Tracy confirmed that it was real, and our locker room was a mess because we have James Harden and Russell, who are from L.A., Austin Rivers, and he was their Michael Jordan at their time, and some of them got to play with him.
Luke, you were extremely close to Kobe and his family, and I just want to go back there. I mean, when he was at Lower Merion, I believe your daughter went to high school with him. What was that like, and what you saw? I know he was a phenom already, but what you saw in him when he was at Lower Merion?
Well, you know, back then, John, I was a coach of the 76ers. And so, you know, we were off a road trip, and my wife said, "I've seen a better high school basketball player than you." I said, "You got to be kidding me." And she said, "Yes, we're going to go watch this guy." I said, "Who?" I said, "Look, I'm tired." We'd be like, so she got me to go, and I said, "Who is the kid?" She said, "His name is Kobe Bean." And so I get there, and I get ready to go in the arena, and there's Jelly Bean Bryant, who used to play with the Rockets, who was standing outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, "Hey, Jelly Bean, how you doing?" He said, "Good." I said, "I'm here to see some young kid play named Kobe Bean." He said, "Oh, that's my son." I said, "Really?" I went in there, and then I went to see him play, and he was playing against what would be equivalent in our local area as a Yates High School team, a really pressing team that pressed a lot of athletes. And Kobe started out playing the five. And by the end of the game, he was playing the point. So after the season ended and I saw him play, I invited him to come work out with our 76ers.
Huh.
And that year we had the third pick in the draft. And every morning I would have him get up at 6:30, a lot like I used to tell Winslow, Justin Jackson, a lot of kids in the Houston area. And Kobe would get, he would beat me to the gym every morning. And I lived right around the corner, but he lived a little further away. He beat me every morning. So I would have my strength coach lifting with him until I got there. So he did. And so that year in the draft, before we have all these rules that we got now in basketball where with draft and draft workouts, I judged everybody by playing one-on-one with a junior in high school named Kobe Bryant. And Kobe beat all the guys in that class except for Antonio McDice. And I drafted a guy that he beat, number three in the pick. And I never forget what the guy said to me. He said, what position is he on the team? I said, I hate to tell you, he's just a junior in high school. So, you know, that was my first beginning. And then there was a young lady, she coaches at South Carolina now. Her name is Dawn Staley.
Oh, yeah.
Dawn was coming off of her knee injury, so I had her and Kobe work out with our team in summer workouts then. And Dawn went on with the Olympics that year, and Kobe went on to continue to play. So I saw him, and then I watched him go play against Rip Hamilton, who went on to play with the Detroit Pistons, and they were in high school at the same time. And I said, Kobe's got a real chance. And as Kobe went on and I met with his family, we became closer and closer. In fact, his senior year, my daughter, Kobe went with the prom with a young lady named Brandy. And my daughter went with Kobe's best friends, and they took all of their prom pictures at the house, and we came very, very close to the family. And Kobe really began to get his worth after then. And then there was a guy named Bob Bass. I got fired, and Bob Bass, the next year Kobe was in the draft, I called Bob Bass, who was the general manager of the Charlotte Hornets. And I said, BB, if you can get this guy, you draft him. Don't you worry about what anybody says. So BB took him as the 13th pick in the draft. But Jerry West traded Vlade Divac to get him. And so when they got him, every year he would come to Houston. He would stay at the house. My daughter would go out and eat with him, and I was out at Westside Tennis Club. He would go out to Westside and work on his game and continue to build. Kobe was one of a kind when it came to work ethic and wanted to be. Because when he got drafted, John and Landry, you know, most people bring their friends, their mother and dad with them. Mm-hmm. He took my strength coach, Joe Carbone, and put him on the Lakers staff for his own strength and conditioning guy.
Wow.
So Kobe was just always really at another level, always worked hard. We talked about life, girls, things that were going on with him in his life. And, oh, and my last story about him is really funny. Kobe would be mad if I told the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I introduced him to Michael Jordan. He wanted to meet Michael. Michael was with the Bulls. And so after the game, and we, you know, as a coach, you know, we were struggling. But I wanted Kobe to meet Michael. So I asked Michael to meet us in the locker room. And after everybody cleared out, I brought Kobe in there to meet Michael. And he goes, hello, Mr. Jordan. And then Michael threw the Carolina pitch on him. And then after Michael left, I said, now, look, Kobe, if you're going to go pro, you can't call him Mr. Jordan anymore. And from that point on, he was like on a different level. But, you know, as he went on, my daughter is really taking it really hard, and my boys, John, and one of the things that we gave both of them for graduation presents were Kobe's uniforms that he signed, and they both had them up in their houses now. And they were just John, who played and was with Kobe, and Jay, who coaches at Texas, and my daughter, who runs my enterprise. They were just, you know, they're really struggling. And Cher, his sister, and my daughter were very best of friends, and they've been in contact. And, you know, we'll just go from there. It's just a tough time for basketball because it's been only three, Landry and John, there's only been three MVPs in the years of the league that have passed. Mm-hmm. Wilt Chamberlain, Moses Malone, who I also was, he was my college roommate for one day before we played with the Rockets together. And Kobe Bryant. You know, we're not like football when it comes to that regard. You know, our guys and our legends live a long time, and you expect to see them. But in this case, you know, it's just gut-wrenching because of the daughters and the other families that were involved. And what they were doing was going to do what he loves, basketball.
Talking to John Lucas here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, a man who knows Kobe Bryant more than most. It also seemed like, John, and we've been talking about this, it seemed like he had a lot more. The way I described Kobe Bryant when we did an interview earlier this morning was legendary and unfinished. It seemed like, you know, of all the guys that leave basketball, it was intriguing to just see what exactly, whether it was movies or whatever, it just seemed like there was a hell of a lot that Kobe Bryant had to add and show just his greatness in other forms.
Well, you know, I thought about that this morning. I haven't had much sleep because we play Utah tonight. I thought about that today, but then for one day in the last couple of years, it seems like our whole world has come together and dropped a lot of differences, and everybody's talking about a sense of love and peace and some understanding. And I'm sure I'm calling loved ones to tell them how much they love them. My phone hadn't rang so much just to say they're thinking about you as it has in years. And I think Kobe's business was bringing some of that together. Because now Kobe wasn't easy to deal with. Now, let's don't get it twisted.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well,
it's a piece of work now, I'm just telling you.
As far as that goes, John, I wanted to ask you about this. Because a lot of times guys that were great at basketball, a lot of times their greatness, it stands alone. But a lot of times, and I think you know this more than anybody, so I'm intrigued to hear what you say about it. When players try to imitate Kobe Bryant and the chip on the shoulder and all that type of stuff and the relentlessness and stuff, that can backfire at times, right? Because you're talking about him being hard to deal with. This is not really a guy that you can really just – you can't duplicate a Kobe Bryant. You can't copy Kobe Bryant if you're a young player. Can you? Well,
you know, it's funny, Landry, what you say, because he was very validated and people really did not like Kobe because they thought he was too much trying to mimic Michael Jordan, all his mannerisms when he hit winning shot, all the things that he did. And then they used to boo him in Philly every time he came back to play because of Laurel Murray and because he went to Philly. So, I mean, that was Kobe had a lot of trial and tribulations as well as what he went through in Denver with the rape charges and things that he did and came through. And so Kobe, you know, he was different. He was flawed, but he was different. But he was very good and conscious, and he was better after he got out of basketball. And people can't imitate that because when you're a superstar, you're an asshole. I don't know nobody that's great that wasn't a jerk, okay? I don't know nobody that because that's what drives them to be successful. And they turned and they try to raise their teammates and others around them to another level. And sometimes people who don't have it, not everybody's got who's great, has got leadership skills. So with your greatness, you have to find out, how do you lead? Do you lead by example? Do you lead by getting on guys and being accountable before yourself? But very rare do you have people that are that committed to their trait.
And Luke, I know you've had this lifelong commitment and certainly all the 25, 30 years that I've known you of committing back to the game and to your family and to young kids. And the fact that Gigi was on the helicopter with him is what resonates a lot with a lot of people. Tell me about that commitment that he had with the future of the game and his family.
Well, you know, the one thing that I think it'll hurt a little bit, a lot rather, besides is all, is that I think he was going to really empower women's basketball because he had really began to take that on. The WNBA had just got a new collective bargaining agreement. The girls' basketball was on the rise. I'm heavily involved with girls' basketball. In fact, I invited Kobe and his daughter to my elite camp for girls. It's called the Girls Top 160 in Houston. And he said, she's just a year too young, coach. I'm going to bring her the next year. So, you know, I just think he's going to transcend what they've done. And it's been great when, you know, not a lot of people get unknown by one name.
Which one? Kobe, right?
There's not a lot of people. Yeah, Kobe.
Kobe.
Serena, Beyonce, Shaq, those guys. There are not few minutes that people know who you're talking about. And it was great that You know, it's really ironic, but LeBron James was in Philly.
Yeah, I saw that.
Kobe's record, where he broke Kobe's record and was flying back, and he was in a Laker uniform.
Yeah.
And when I heard about Kobe having LeBron come to his room when LeBron was in high school, all I could think about was what happened when I introduced him to Michael.
Yeah,
same thing, kind of passing it on to the next generation.
Well, Luke, you know I love you, man, and you have our condolences as well. A lot of people don't realize, well, they do now, but how extremely close you were with the entire family, and our condolences to you as well, Luke.
All right, well, we got to get ourselves together. We got to play Utah tonight, so we will.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen? Right, is that going to happen? You want to guarantee a win on the air right here, Luke? We'll give it to you.
Well, we don't have James or Russ tonight, so it's going to be tough.
Okay, so
we'll see what we can do.
All right, John. All right. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Legendary John Lucas, probably the most connected man in basketball, if you ask me, and some great wisdom from the OG John Lucas on the life and times of Kobe Bryant. We'll get some more Kobe reaction from the local big names. We're also going to talk about the Astros. They're going to pick a manager very, very soon. And Mike Fiers, he had a lot to say this offseason, but he didn't have much to say this weekend. Is Mike Fiers chicken bleep? That's next. Well, yesterday was supposed to be kind of just a little breezy Sunday. Not much going on in the world of sports heading into the day. The Pro Bowl was on. Many people did not plan on watching that. However, the news of Kobe Bryant, it completely shocked not just the sports world, but the world as a whole. However, the Pro Bowl was going on, and before the game, they had a moment of silence for Kobe. And Deshaun Watson, the quarterback for your Houston Texans, was asked about Kobe Bryant after the game.
I don't even really have words for it. I mean, it was heartbreaking. And for us to, you know, find out in the locker room before we came out, a lot of guys were just very emotional. And just to be able to, you know, get to know Kobe a couple months ago, he came down to Houston, and now with his loss and his family, prayers all out to his family and friends. And I mean, it's terrible news.
The tributes were, there's so many different parts of Kobe's passing that affect you. The tributes were really, really impressive. The lengths and the breadth of tributes that athletes.
You see the lights on the bridge yesterday?
Yes.
You were not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Purple and yellow. Shout out to Mayor Turner for that.
Purple and yellow lights. Even in the Australian Open, one of the players came out. Do you remember who
Nick
it was?
Kyrgios.
Yeah, came out with the Kobe jersey. That's in the Australian Open.
Yeah.
The Pro Bowl, they did the celebrations. They did the crossover and a jump shot. And I don't know why, but the shot clock running out that I think it was it the Spurs? And
Spurs did it, yes.
Letting the shot clock run out on the first. That just hit me hard. It's like, you know, this tick, 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 and then it goes to zero. Some of the tributes were really impressive.
Yeah, they were impressive. It was very, very good. And you could see Tyson Chandler. You could see Austin Rivers when the Rockets were playing. I mean, they could barely keep it together.
Yeah.
Just completely shook up the landscape. As for that Pro Bowl, though, 38-33 AFC, Deshaun Watson with 14 of 20, 140 yards and a touchdown. And he also found a rival in the end zone.
For Deshaun and the AFC, trying to take the lead before halftime here. And there is Doyle, and Doyle's inside the five, and Doyle's into the end zone. So Deshaun Watson with a 13-yard touchdown to Jack Doyle.
I mean, I don't know what is going to be done, but you got to think maybe 24 gets retired, something like that. I know Los Angeles had retired both jerseys. I don't know what they're going to do. But it's going to be a lot. By the way, Magic Johnson called him the greatest Laker of all time.
Yeah, that's
so
something
that.
You think.
I mean, that's not bad.
Mark Cuban retired number 24. Said no one will ever wear number 24 again.
Oh, he didn't do that for Jim Jackson? He did it for Kobe?
I thought it was Mark Aguirre that wore 24.
So did Jim Jackson.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Mark Aguirre's a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
No.
You don't think he'll be a Hall of Famer?
No.
He's in the neighborhood, though.
Well,
keep in mind, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Let me put it this way, though.
Yeah.
And I know the Basketball Hall of Fame is easy to get into, but... Yeah. Easier.
Yeah.
you can't be a fringe guy and be as much of an a-hole as Aguirre was. Yeah. And he'll admit he was an a-hole. Oh. I've told him, like, he knows he was an a-hole. Yeah,
I covered those teams. He was a big old. I remember him at DePaul. I mean,
like, it's one thing to be an a-hole and be like unquestioned Hall of Famer, but when you're on the fringe,
he's a fringe basketball Hall of Famer, I think, but probably not. But either way, he wore number 24. Mark Cuban said number 24. That's a great. The tributes, like I said, they just resonate with me. It just tells you how impactful he was.
You've been asking for the Texans front office to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The death of Kobe Bryant will cause the front office to speak.
Oh, so they had a press conference.
No, they did not. Jack Easterby sent out a tweet.
Of course he did.
Could I interest you in a tweet?
You know that you can.
From the mysterious one, Jack Easterby. All right, this was Jack Easterby. He put out a picture of Kobe and his daughter, and he had this to say. God's ways are above ours. Love others. Cherish each moment. Our impact will not be measured by points, resumes, dollars, or real estate. Our impact will depend on our relationship with a loving God and how he allowed him to use us to change the people and world around us.
I mean, that's nice. It is. I think the biggest story that we all should just take home with us from the Kobe Bryant news is hug your kids. Hug those people that you love, man, because as Art Love Lady once said, every day is a gift. I think that's who said that.
I think a lot of people have said that.
I think he coined it.
I'd say most people have said it.
Mm-hmm.
You trademark that one? You get that one. You're in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Treasure every day. Trademark.
Every day is a gift.
Are the New England Patriots trying to trademark that as we speak?
Probably.
They got do your job.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll try to get that one. As for what's going on in the world of basketball in Houston, not very good.
Mm-hmm.
They lost their fifth game in six tries. They lost to the Denver Nuggets 117-110. An emotional time for the Rockets in their defense. However, I'm sure that the Nuggets had players that were feeling those same types of emotions.
Right.
Here's Mike D'Antoni after the game on what it was like to play a game when the news of this Kobe Bryant tragedy struck before tip-off.
He's one of the greatest players ever, an unbelievable competitor. Earned everything, every accolade he got, he earned. He just kept coming at you, and there won't be many like him, that's for sure. Now it's time to reflect and whatever, but once you're on the floor, it just, you know, everybody has a heavy heart at one time or another. You just gotta do your job.
D'Antoni coached him, as you know, and he, like Lucas was talking about, John Lucas, who was fantastic with us, and you can find that on sportsradio610.com. We'll probably play a little bit more of it later in the show. But D'Antoni was one of those who had an up-and-down relationship with Kobe Bryant. But it's just that respect. It's just that that knowledge of what he was and why he was that way and so competitive that D'Antoni is talking about there. By the way, Rockets are 45 games into the season, and don't look now, but they're 2.5 games.
Come on, dude.
They're 2.5 games out of a home court in the playoff.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to say they're going to fall out of the playoff.
No,
sure.
No. I'm saying they're not going to be playing at home as things are going right now.
It's fine. It's a sinking ship. Just be honest. Sinking ship.
It is.
I mean, that's exactly what the Rockets are right now. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens when the playoffs come. They do have two guys that can individually win you a game.
Two guys that are out today, by the way.
Who are out today. In Utah, but yeah, that kind of appears to be somewhat of a sinking ship.
Mm-hmm.
Astros, they're trying to right the ship. Looks like they'll have a manager pretty soon. Could come within the next week. Here are some of the guys who have interviewed so far: Buck Showalter, John Gibbons, Will Venable, Dusty Baker, Joe Espada, Eduardo Perez, Brad Ausmus,
mm-hmm.
and the man who should get the job, Jeff Banister. This Ausmus thing, of all the possibilities, I think Brad Ausmus would make me the most upset. I'm not a Brad Ausmus fan. I think his managerial resume is bad. Never won a playoff game with the Detroit Tigers. I know the ladies probably would like to have Brad Ausmus here, but no thank you. No effing thank you.
And this is the one I was thinking of earlier, and I couldn't remember, but McTaggart tweeted yesterday that – no, excuse me, this morning, that Mark Kotze – Mark Kotze interviewed with the Astros as well on Sunday.
He's going to be a bench coach.
He could be, yeah, part of the equation here. Played for a long time and he's with the A's right now. But as a quality control guy. But I like the way the process they're doing it. They're not being too hasty. Now you do have to kind of pick up the pace because we're bearing down on February when pitchers and catchers are going to report.
Yeah, I mean, you would like to get that done, right? That would probably be in your best interest. But we all know what the story's been for the Astros this offseason. The cheating controversy. Mike Fiers, one of the whistleblowers for that. He had a lot to say this offseason. He met with the media types over the weekend in Oakland. And obviously they're going to ask him about this. They're not there to talk about Mike Fiers working on his two-seam fastball or four-seam fastball or anything like that. This is Mike Fiers. Mike, you've had a lot to say about this Astros thing. We've seen the news lately and how it's developed. What do you got to say about it now, sir?
For that story, did you sort of take a deep breath knowing that a lot of scrutiny and attention was coming, or has this taken you by surprise to some extent?
And listen, I appreciate the question. I'm not talking about that right now. I'll talk about baseball, talk about, you know, my team moving forward, but right now I'm just trying to focus on, you know, this team and not the past.
Exactly, Figgy. Nobody was there to talk baseball with Mike Fiers. I've been kind of not defending. Well, I guess kind of defending the fact that he did this, and people are actually, I've been more kind of critical of the people who are calling him a rat and all this other stuff. Because that's how these stories get out there. You know, every scandal has someone who actually feels compelled to release that story or to share it. So I've been kind of defending him that way. But if you're going to stand up and do that, you got
to
talk.
Yeah, you have to.
You got to talk.
I mean, especially once the news comes out. Like, nobody's sitting there waiting. Like, nobody's sitting there wanting to hear about Mike Fiers in baseball.
Yeah.
Let's talk about baseball. Like, who are you? You're not like, it's one thing. Like, Altuve
There's
and Bregman
30 people
to say
standing
that.
Around him. They don't all want to talk baseball.
30 people haven't stood around him his whole career.
Exactly.
Even when he threw a no-hitter, nobody gave a damn about Mike Fiers, and you want to talk about baseball? You got to at least have one instance where you talk about it.
Yeah.
I feel like the punishment was justified. They made their decision and all that. But you're Mike Fiers, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You brought this on yourself. Like, you decided to do this. You can't just do it. Like, I've kind of felt for Mike Fiers in this whole thing because, I he's going to get the backlash of Astros. There's a lot of garbage going around the internet now that Astros fans, I think, are making absolute jamokes of themselves in some things. It seems a little bit ridiculous, but I mean, you're Mike Fiers and you decided to bring this up. I'm not saying you got to answer these questions all year, but at the beginning of the season, just like Dallas Keuchel did, like, you're the guy. You got to go up there and at least say something. You're Mike freaking Fiers, dude. Like, mm-hmm. You're Mike freaking Fiers, bro.
And at least, look, if there's going to be people out there, you know, crediting you for you know, enlightening the world on what the Astros did and what other teams did that tainted the game, then at least take the question. That's what I'm saying. You know, you just, what do I always say? Own it.
You don't have to do it all year.
Own it.
Just, at least once, right?
Yeah, exactly.
At least once or twice. Like, you're freaking Mike Fiers, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. We'll hear Dallas Keuchel's comments in the noon hour. Interesting to say the least. It's almost like Dallas Keuchel, when he did his interview, and I've always loved Dallas Keuchel. He's always been one of the best interviews. But it's almost like he had a devil on his right shoulder.
He
had a devil on his left shoulder.
An angel.
An angel on his left shoulder. And he just sat there and ate popcorn and let them talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were almost, it was almost like the good cop versus cop.
This is simultaneously the best commentary from a 2017 Astro that you will hear, and also the worst. Because he's like, talking about, yeah, man, I'm sorry. And you seem sincere. I'm sorry. I want to apologize. But, you know, he was just going back and forth. But, you know, we really didn't benefit all the time. Yes, but you were cheating all the time. It's crazy. By the way, the Real Madrid's soccer practice just had practice and a moment of silence at their practice. And Sergio Ramos was wearing a Kobe Olympic jersey. I mean, this guy, that's all you need to know about the impact Kobe had on people.
I'm telling you, man, I got a Kobe signed ball, and I got a Kobe sweatband that he gave me after a game that's in my living room. I also got another mini ball. I got an extra Kobe autograph I didn't know I had. So I've always been a Kobe guy. We got a loophole telling me I should give it to him.
SMD, man. SMD, dude. You ain't getting my prized possession.
It means
buddy.
More.
Yeah, you can figure out what SMD means too. You ain't getting that, buddy. But shout out to all the loopholes. Shout out to Kobe Bryant. What did you think of the way in which the news was going around yesterday amidst this? Because there was a misspeak that I actually tweeted out just because it was being discussed, but the Channel 8 guy misspoke, which I actually gave him the benefit of the doubt. I made it clear on the post that a lot of times in high-pressure situations, you'll misspeak. Like I said, Jim Crane got fired last week. I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a report, but there was a misspeak, and I think it added validity to the whole thing. What did you think about just the way the news was chased yesterday? Because it seemed kind of hectic. A lot of people were chasing their tail.
Well, let me talk about the TMZ thing first, because I was having a text exchange with my oldest this morning about this as well. How do you know? The question was, how do you feel about the fact that TMZ sent this out, and ultimately, you know, family members probably found out about it through TMZ before anything. And I'll just answer that because I know a lot of people have talked about that over the years, and this is an example of to the extreme of how, you know, it can change and impact people, including the family. Here's what I would say. TMZ reported information that an official someone gave them. So when you talk about like, you know, should they have done that? First of all, the official should have known. If you're in an official capacity or around someone who is either the, you know, whatever, on scene, first responder, whatever, that you don't do that. Secondly, there's when these things happen and you get a report like that, in this case, a tragic happening, there's no you don't know whether they've told the family yet or not. I mean, it's impossible to know.
I mean, if it's news, like you got to. I mean, TMZ has to break it, man. Like that's the thing. If they know it is factual,
now here's the thing.
They reported it.
If they knew the family hadn't been told yet, then that's a different story. I think you should hold it until the family at least.
But then someone else is going to get it.
Maybe, but who cares? You know, have a little more.
They do.
Integrity. I know TMZ cares more about that. I'm just saying. I don't blame TMZ because I don't think there's any, in more cases than not, you don't know if the family's already been reported. And an official, and that's what people lose sight of. Someone in some sheriff's or fire department or someone told TMZ that this happened. So you have to assume that, number one, that's on them. They should have known better. And number two, maybe they already informed the family.
As far as TMZ goes and as far as reporting deaths goes, it's amazing how far TMZ's come. Because I remember being an intern at a radio station when Michael Jackson died. And when Michael Jackson died, I think that's the last time that the world was shook by an entertainment, you know, an entertainment personality or icon dying. I'd say you could go from Michael Jackson to Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. I think that would be up there. When TMZ first reported that, people were like, TMZ, they don't know crap. That's a gossip thing. They ain't breaking no
TMZ's
news.
TMZ's never
the hell
wrong.
Is that? Now,
they're never wrong.
Now they aren't.
Yeah.
But back then, people were like, oh, TMZ's saying it? We'll hold off on that. Now TMZ says
reports it.
Boom.
It's true.
My girl was sitting there. We were sitting there watching TV. My girl goes, wait, Kobe Bryant died? And I'm like, the hell are you talking about? And I'm just kind of like nonchalant, like ignoring it because you know how the internet is. She goes, well, TMZ said it. I said, oh, damn.
Yeah. And then the other part of what you were talking about is all the falsities that come out afterward. You know, people are talking about Rick Fox and other things. That's when you just have to be like extremely careful. And a lot of people, what kind of horrible human being, you know, starts a report or rumor like that without knowing? You know?
Which one?
About like Rick Fox being on the helicopter.
I don't know.
How horrible a person do you have to be?
Maybe you just heard it and you're trying to be first. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It was strange. Yeah. There's a lot going on. It was very chaotic, but that's just the times we are in. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Shout out to the loopholes. Thanks for starting your week off with us. We did not think this is the direction the show was going to go, but that's just where we're at right now. We'll remember Kobe Bryant some more in the noon hour. We'll also talk about some of the stuff going on around town with your teams. Keep it locked in. The Loop continues next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.